Well, good morning. You've all already kind of heard a message, haven't you? Y'all ready to just go on out the door, probably, right? It's like filled up. That was awesome. Awesome. Good stuff. Well, first of all, just thanks for having me back. How many of you were here the last time I was here? That was about 2 months ago. Huh? Most of you, all right. Good. Glad to see you all again, and it's a pleasure to be back here with you. Well, I always like to start off a message when I'm preaching, doing something that engages your mind, senses, heart, gets you kind of rolling with that. So, are you ready this morning to engage Scripture with me? Amen. I want to try that one more time. Are you ready this morning to engage the Scripture with me? Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that because I'm going to push you a little bit this morning. All right, how many of you are great at memorizing Scripture? Look at all the hands. Wow, amazing. I did hear, though, that there was it the junior high kids at camp did a really good job memorizing Scripture? High schoolers, too. So I know some of you, even though you didn't raise your hands, are good at that. So. But I actually wanted to take a look at this scripture. When Tony, I got in touch with Tony, he told me to come back whenever I wanted to. So, you know, I looked at the calendar, found a good date. And so we're back down again. And just, again, a pleasure to be here. But as I was coming down, there was a scripture that just came to my mind. He said, preach on whatever you want to. So the scripture in 1 Peter 4:10 was a scripture that just was like on my heart, on my mind. I couldn't get away from it. So I said, I guess I have to preach on that verse. So I wanted to actually memorize that verse as we got started here this morning, because I believe that all of us can memorize this verse. So if you would, look at the paper on your worksheet there, and let's just read it together first, okay? Are you ready? One, two, three, let's go. 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. All right? All right. So like I said, you all told me you were ready to engage the Scripture this morning. So here's how we're going to learn it. All right? I'm going to do this for you. I'm not going to make you stand up because I have a feeling that if I did, some of you wouldn't be able to see. I can kind of see most of your faces here the way I'm looking. Okay. So here's how we're going to do it. All right? We're going to learn some motions. And it's only going to take us a quick minute because it's a short verse. All right? But here's the motions that are going to go with this. You're going to do the motions with me. Yes? You are going to do the motions with me. Okay, so here's how it goes, all right? You're going to point around like this. Just point like this. Do this. This is as each one, all right? That's how we're going to start. As each one, then you're going to pretend that you're an NFL football star and you're getting this beautiful catch that you're going to receive, right? Okay? Beautiful, beautiful catch. You're going to receive. Okay? And then after you receive it, you're going to look at that football that you just caught. And right on the football, you just got to pretend this in your mind, it says special gift. Okay? So it's like this. This is the first phrase. As each one has received a special gift. All right? That's the first phrase. We got it. See, you already got that first phrase now, right? Go ahead. Say it to your neighbor.
As each one has received a special gift.
Okay? Next part is you're going to pretend that you are employed as a waiter or a waitress, and you're holding the thing, okay? Employ it, and then you pretend you're like you have a serving towel over your hand. Employ it in serving one another, okay? So here we go. Employ it in serving one another, okay? Do I tell your neighbor that phrase now?
Employ it in serving one another.
Okay, so now let's go back to the beginning, okay? As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. Got it? Okay. As good stewards. All right? Just look at somebody next to you. Give them the thumbs up. As good stewards. All right? As good stewards. You got that? Say that phrase to the person next to you. It's really hard. All right. So now from the beginning. Okay? As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards. All right, the last phrase. Of the manifold, you're going to pretend like you just pulled the sheet out of the dryer and you're just going to fold it up like this. You know, you just grab a sheet out of the dryer, folding it up. Of the manifold grace of God. Okay? It's just the manifold grace of God. So say that one to your neighbor. Of the manifold grace of God. All right, so here you go, from the very beginning, okay? As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. All right, so now tell it to your neighbor from the very beginning. Oh, remember, it's 1 Peter 4:10. All right, so go ahead, say it to your neighbor. All right, go ahead, from the beginning. All right, so how many of you could say that verse now? Only three of you, come on now. Do you want me to work on it longer? I mean, come on, all right. Let's all say it together, okay? 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. All right, that was very good. Yeah, give yourselves a hand. That was good. So you've engaged Scripture this morning already. You've memorized it. You can go home and continue to say that verse. But I want to break that verse down here this morning into those same phrases we were working on. And the first phrase of this passage of Scripture says, as each one has received a special gift. As how many ones?
Each.
Say that again. What word is that?
Each.
As each one has received a special gift. Here's my first bullet point, if you're following along that worksheet, is that you are in the gifted program. Yes, you are. You are in the gifted program. If you're a follower of Christ, then you have gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to you. So you are in the gifted program. I can't tell you how many times I've been a pastor for many years, how many times people have come to me and said, I'm just not gifted. I just can't do that. Oh, it's not my gift, okay? I think sometimes that's the line people use sometimes as an excuse. And sometimes it's true. Maybe something is not their gift, but something else is. Because each one of us has been given a special gift. In 1 Corinthians 7:7, it says that each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. 1 Corinthians 12:7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us, so that we can help others. So that's my first point, is you are gifted. Whether you know it or not, as a believer, you have gifts that God has given to you. You have that. You are in the gifted program. Next point is this, that there's a wide variety of gifts. The Bible talks about all kinds of gifts, a lot of different kinds of gifts. There's passages in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4. Those are the primary passages of Scripture that talk about gifts. There's other gifts that are mentioned throughout other parts of Scripture as well. But they're gifts like this, serving, sometimes called the gift of helps or ministry, intercession, the special calling to prayer, giving, craftsmanship, teaching, leadership, mercy, encouraging and exhorting, evangelism, pastor, shepherd, discernment, administration, and more. There's a wide variety of gifts that God has given to us, to each one of us, the church, His church. He's given us all these variety of gifts. And this wide variety of gifts can be expressed in a wide variety of ways. Years ago, many of you are probably familiar with Rick Warren. You know, he's the Saddleback Church in California. And he came up with this acronym called SHAPE. How many of you are familiar with that, heard that before? SHAPE. S-H-A-P-E. It stands for, he talks about it as God has given everybody a unique shape. And it stands for spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, and experiences. All of us have different spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, and experiences. And when you put those things together, it's how God has wired us, how God has shaped each one of us to be used in His work in this world. And none of the two of us have the same shape. I mean, we all have different spiritual gifts. Some of us in this room have the same spiritual gifts, but then we have different heart and ability and personalities and experiences. So all of us can express God's love to the world in different ways. There's such a wide variety of gifts. Each of us are uniquely suited to be a part of God's kingdom work here on this earth. And because we have this wide variety of gifts, you know what it means? It means that God has created us to work together. Many times when he talks about gifts throughout the scripture, it also talks about the fact that we're a body. And that the body is interdependent, right? That's how our bodies are. Our bodies, our different parts, all need the other parts in order for our bodies to function the way they're supposed to. And that's the way it is in the church, in the body of Christ. That the gifts that God has given us are meant to be worked together to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in this community and in our world. So God has shaped us uniquely so that we would be interdependent on one another. Look at the verse there in 1 Corinthians 12, 14 to 21. It says this. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not a part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We need each other. We need the gifts that each other brings, and we need to learn to use those gifts in concert together to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in the church and in the world and in our community. The last bullet point there for this one, this phrase, is that your gift is special. Your gift is special. Again, the phrase said, as each one has received a special gift, your gift is special. It's special because it was chosen especially for you, by the Holy Spirit. It was chosen just for you by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, 11, it says this, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Have you ever looked at another person and said, man, I wish I had their gift? Be honest with me now, come on. Have you ever thought something like that? We do that. Sometimes we think, oh man, that's a better gift to have. God has given each of us gifts. The Holy Spirit has decided which gifts that you should get. And He knows you better than you know yourself. So He can make the best choice about what gift you should have. So we need to get ourselves in line with that and not want somebody else's gift, but trust that God knows what's best. And He's given us the gift that He wants us to have so that we can use it in the way that He wants us to. It's like when you get a Christmas present. And, you know, you can go to these office parties or whatever where everyone has to bring a gift, right? And, you know, you walk away from an experience like that with a generic gift, right? It's just, you know, it's a one-size-fits-all type of gift, right? But then, with people who know you and love you, they'll pick out a gift that's your color, that's your size, or something that they'll know especially that you like or that you need. That's what the Holy Spirit is like when He looks at us and when God looks at us and He says, here's the gifts. I know what this person needs. I know how I want to use them in my kingdom work. So this is the gift I'm going to give them. So your gift is special. God has a special place for you to use that gift in His kingdom work. All right, the second phrase that we learned was employ it in serving one another. Employ it in serving one another. First bullet point is this. Gifts are meant to be used. Gifts are meant to be used. Imagine for a minute with me that somebody gives you a birthday present. And it is beautifully wrapped. And you say, man, that present is so beautifully wrapped, I just don't want to unwrap it. So I'm going to take that beautiful gift, and I'm going to stick it on the shelf in my closet or stick it on my mantle just so I can look at that beautifully wrapped gift. And you're just going to leave it there because it's so beautiful. You love it. It looks so nice. That would be an offense to the person who gave you the gift, wouldn't it be? And it would be ridiculous, right? I mean, it would be ridiculous because the person gave you a gift so that you would open it, so that you would use it, so that you would wear it. That's why it's been given. Gifts are meant to be used. Being a Christian, being a Christ follower, is not meant to be a spectator sport. You know, I mean, we live in a spectator sport culture, right? I mean, in America, we love our sports, right? And we go to sports events, and thousands of people go to these sporting events and sit down and watch the sporting event happen. It's a fun thing, right? We all like doing that. That's not the way it's supposed to be in the body of Christ. We don't come to just sit and watch, you know, let's all sit and watch Tony minister. He's such a great minister. Isn't he a great minister?
Amen.
You know? So let's all come and just sit and watch Tony minister because he's such a great minister, right? It's not meant to be that way in the body of Christ. God gives us gifts so that we will use them in service to Him. Wayne Cordero, he's a pastor at a church in Hawaii, one of my favorites, and he wrote a book called Doing Church as a Team. And he says this in that book: don't head for the grandstands when you enter the kingdom of God. Head for the playing field. That's where the excitement is. That's where the action is. But most of all, that's where our coach is. Head to the playing field. Our gifts are meant to be used. Second point there is this. Not only are gifts meant to be used, but gifts are meant to be used with the right heart. This is extremely important as we start looking at how we use our gifts. How we employ that gift. How it says it right there in that phrase. Employ it in serving. In serving. Serving who? One another. Serving God. We're supposed to employ it in serving, not serving ourselves. The word there, the actual word for serving that's translated in that verse is the word diakono, right? It's the word we get deacon from. And it can also be translated minister. And so that's why I wrote there on that on the outline, 1 Peter 4:10. In the New King James Version, I like the way they translated that section. It says this: as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Minister it to one another. It turns that word minister from that person into a verb where you're going to actually minister your gift. That is what you're going to do with your gift. You're going to minister it. I thought that was a pretty powerful picture. So when we use our gifts, do you see your gifts when you're using your gifts, when you start to get involved and serve in ministry? Are you actually doing it as ministry? That's a pretty important question, because that's how we're supposed to use our gifts, in ministry, ministering our gifts. It's not just show up and do a job, check it off a list. I've got a task to do when I show up at church or when I'm in this thing that our church is doing in the community, and I'm just going to check it off the list because, you know, I'm supposed to do it. Are we ministering our gift? Are we using it in ministry with a heart of ministry to other people, so that they're being encouraged and uplifted in their faith and in their relationship with God? That's how we're supposed to be using our gift, ministering it with the right heart, with the servant heart. Again, a question for you. You can raise your hand on this one. How many of you have ever used a gift with less than the right motives? Tony, you're going to have to preach a message on telling the truth to this congregation here. All right? All right. Yeah. All of us, at some point or another, when we serve, we begin to think, oh, you know, I'm supposed to serve, or oh, I'm going to do that. Maybe we don't start out that way, but then we kind of wonder, well, I wonder if anybody's watching me. I wonder if anybody's checking off the list to see that I'm doing a pretty good job here. Right? It's easy. It is so easy for us to serve in ministry and just to take our eyes off of Christ, to take our eyes off of truly ministering our gift and serving and to start looking at ourselves or doing it for ourselves or doing it for our own ego, for our own pride, for our own spiritual brownie points that we think we need to earn before God. And we turn what's meant to be serving in the right heart to all of a sudden serving for selfish motives and reasons and purposes. God doesn't want us to do that. Our gifts are meant to be used ministering. We could serve out of guilt or obligation or to get something like power or position or bolster our pride or ego. And all of those things are just wrong motives that creep into us. Last point there is that your gifts are not for you. I mean, this is one of those things that's different because every time you get a Christmas present or you get a birthday present, right? I mean, somebody's giving that gift to you. It's for you. You're the one that's supposed to use it. You're the one that's supposed to wear it. But when God gives us gifts, when God gives us these spiritual gifts that He gives to us, He gives them to us so that we will use it in serving others. That's why He gives them to us. Not to serve ourselves, but to serve others. So they're not for you. I mean, think about it for a second. Let's say God's given you the gift of teaching. Right? You have the gift of teaching. So you stand in front of a mirror and you teach yourself. Right? Doesn't work, you know? Or God gives you the gift of mercy. God gives you the gift of mercy. You know, the gift of mercy is a great gift for somebody who can go visit someone in the hospital and empathize with them and come alongside of them and pray with them. I mean, there's plenty of you out here that have the gift of mercy. God hasn't given you that gift of mercy so you can console yourself. Right? He's given you that gift of mercy so that you can use it with others. It's that way with the gifts. God gives us the gifts that He gives to us so that we will use them in serving others. Use them in serving others. The next phrase of our passage this morning. As good stewards. As good stewards. How many of you want to be a good steward? I certainly do. Strong's Concordance talks about the word steward and it says this. It's a manager or superintendent to whom the head of the house or proprietor has entrusted the management of his affairs. We see the example of Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph, who was sold by his brothers into slavery, and he gets sent down to Egypt, and he winds up in Egypt in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar is a powerful man underneath the Pharaoh, and Joseph ends up being put in charge of all of Potiphar's house. It even says in Genesis 39:6, it says that Potiphar didn't think about anything except for the food he was going to eat that day. He just had to make a choice about what kind of food he wanted to eat that day. Everything else, Joseph took care of. Joseph was in charge of. And God blessed Joseph. And Joseph was, you watch how diligent he was and how much he served his master well through those years right there in Potiphar's household. He was a great example of a good steward. In the New Testament, the example, the parable that's told in Matthew, told again in Luke, Jesus tells the parable of the talents. And in that parable of the talents, most of you are probably familiar with it, but just a couple of the things that are parallel between those two passages, same story, or actually the story was told two different times with slightly different characters and that, but here are some of the things that are the same between both of those parables that were told. A man goes to another country, and he stays there a long time, and then he returns. The same man allocated his resources to his servants, expecting them to make a profit while he was in his absence. The first two servants are faithful, and they're praised. They're praised by their master, and they're given even greater authority. A third servant hides what was entrusted to him. The first two servants are commended, and the third one is condemned. You familiar with that story, pretty much? It's one of those pretty familiar Bible stories. But once again, it shows the importance of good stewardship, what a good steward looks like. And here's three quick points about what a good steward is. First of all, a good steward is obedient. A good steward is obedient, right? The master says, this is what I want you to do. And that steward says, hey, I'm going to be about my master's business. Because this is what my master has asked, that's what I'm going to do. So the first thing is a good steward is obedient. Next one is that a good steward is diligent. Diligent, not lazy. Not like the one who buries their treasure, buries their talent. but they're diligent. They work hard at what they do. And thirdly, a good steward is concerned with their master's reputation. They know that if things bode well with the master, things are going to bode well with them. And so they're concerned that their master's name, who they're representing, is well represented. They want to be worthy of that name for that master. So that's what a good steward is. And my last phrase of this verse, 1 Peter 4:10, says this, of the manifold grace of God. When we think about what we're ministering, and as we minister it, part of what we get a chance to minister is the grace of God. That's part of what gets imparted from us to other people as we use our gifts in ministry, is the grace of God. That's a pretty great thing to be pawning off on other people, isn't it? Isn't that a good picture? Like, hey, you know, I have all this grace that God has just showered on me. Now I have the opportunity to return that grace and put that, show God's grace to other people through using my gifts in ministry. It's a pretty awesome thing. Another the word there on your outline is that you can be an instrument of God's grace. You can be an instrument of God's grace, an instrument that God uses to share His grace with other people. God's grace coming through you to other people. You and I can be an instrument of God's grace. Another word you could fill in that blank with is agent. You and I can be agents of God's grace. It's a pretty great picture. You and I have something that is worth offering the rest of the world. It's not like where you just say, well, I'm going to just come to you and give you the best I have of myself. Because all of us in our human scale, we all fail, right? And we all fall short. And that sooner or later, we're going to disappoint people. Our humanness is going to disappoint people. We're going to run dry. We're going to run short. But God's grace is something that we have to offer other people. That's even better than offering the best I have. I have God's grace to share with people. Again, I run up against people that say, you know, I just really don't have much to offer. You know, the low self-image type of thing. I just don't have much to offer. Hello, folks. Hey, listen to me. We have God's grace to offer people. You know? I mean, you and I have something to offer other people. If you've experienced the grace of God, even like we just were watching with these, you know, kids up here, and you could just sense that they experienced God's grace in a powerful way this week, that, man, we have that. God's grace to share with other people. There's a prayer that was, it's called the prayer of St. Francis, although nobody can actually really trace it to him, by the way. If you didn't know that, this unknown, little known fact about the prayer of St. Francis. But it is a great prayer nonetheless. And it says this, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. It's a great prayer. That we can be instruments, agents of God's grace in this world. Here's something else about God's grace. God's grace saves and sustains. Those are the two words on your outline there. God's grace saves and sustains. I mean, I'm not telling you anything new here, but Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. God's grace saves. And there's a lot of people that need God's saving grace, right? Amen? A lot of people need to know that God saves. And they're going to know that primarily through His people sharing that message. That's how God works. He wants us to be going out and sharing that message that people can find the grace of God that saves them if they will come to Him. But there's another type of grace that God also offers. It's that sustaining grace. It's Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access into, by faith into this grace in which we stand. Did you know there's that the grace that saves, but there's also the grace that sustains. The grace of God that helps you to make it through those roughest times of your life. Right? The grace of God that carries you through week in and week out with a boss who's less than kind, or with a neighbor who's less than kind to you, or with somebody else in your family that is maybe not treating you quite right. It's the grace of God that can sustain you, in those times of life, all through our lives. The sustaining grace of God. You know, sometimes we just look at God's grace and we think, yeah, God's grace saves me. And we walk through life, in a sense, relying on ourselves for everything else. God wants us to rely on Him. He wants to sustain us with His grace. He wants us to stand, give us the grace in which we can stand. That's the kind of grace that He offers us. Saving grace, but sustaining grace as well. And that's something else we have to offer people. How many other people do you know that need God's sustaining grace? They're going through a tough time and they need God to just lift their spirits. They need God's sustaining grace. Brings me to my last point there. Is that God's grace comes in various forms. God's grace comes in various forms. I like how it translates that verse in the NIV, the very end of that verse, that that we are to administer God's grace in its various forms. You know, sometimes grace comes to you through a phone call. We've all had that phone call where somebody on the other end of that line just lifts us with God's grace. Sometimes you experience God's grace through a sermon. You come and you hear God's word and it lifts your spirit and you know you heard something that was God's grace in your heart and in your life. Sometimes you're just driving down the road and you get God's grace showered on you through a song on the radio. Anybody ever have that happen to them? Yeah, you're just driving down the road and just what you needed to hear at just the right time. God is speaking to you. God is providing for you. God is giving His grace to you. Sometimes it's through a Bible verse. You're reading your devotions in the morning and it's like this Bible verse just jumps off the page at you and you're like, thank you, God. Thank you for that expression of your grace through your word, through this word that's alive and powerful today in my life. Thank you, God, for that. Sometimes you experience God's grace through a hug. Just the embrace of another person with flesh and blood. And it's another person, but somehow it's God's grace flowing through that person to you that day. Sometimes it's an email. Sometimes it's a physical need that's met in your life. Some believers come over and meet a need that you had. Somebody walks up to you and hands you some money and you didn't have any gas money, you didn't know how you were going to make it the next step. God's grace comes to you through a physical need that's met. God's grace comes to you through a prayer that somebody says that lifts your spirit. God's grace comes to you through His provision in a special way. God's grace comes to you in a time of worship where you're just singing out these songs that we sing to God every week when we gather in a place like this and your heart just goes to a new place. You experience God's grace through worship. God's grace comes to you in response to a crisis in your life. And you just sense God giving you that strength, His grace, to make it through. All kinds of ways that we experience the grace of God in its various forms. And those are all those same kinds of ways that we can minister God's grace to other people. All those ways I just mentioned are things that we can do for others. We can do those things and minister God's grace. So my question at the bottom of your outline is this. So what about you? What about you? How are you using the special gifts that God has given to you to serve others as a good steward of the manifold grace of God? How are you doing that? Where are you plugging in? Where are you serving? Remember, Being a Christ follower is not meant to be a spectator sport. God wants you involved in His kingdom work somehow, some way, whether it's through the life of this church body or whether it's through other things that God has called you to do in your community. God wants you to use those gifts that He's given to you as a good steward of His grace that you can share with others. Let's pray. God, Your grace is so amazing. And because we've received it, and because we know that You've gifted us, Lord, help us to find our place in Your kingdom work. To not be sitting on a sideline somewhere, just being a spectator. But God, to find it, to find that place that You've gifted us for, specially, uniquely, purposefully, so that we could be about Your business in this world. God, help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.